Hi, everybody, and welcome back to day 28 of 40 Days in the Word devotionals. Grab a Bible and turn back to Psalm 119. You know, we've been going to this psalm a lot because the whole chapter, Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the Bible, is about the Bible. And we're going to look at Psalm 119, 162, down to verses 167. And I've asked Pastor Chris Hodges, a good friend at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, fantastic growing church, to share with us today on Psalm 119, 162 to 167. Take it away, Chris.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Hodges, and I pastor Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks for joining me in this edition of 40 Days in the Word. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice in your promise like the one who finds great spoil. Now, King David wrote that because he considered God's word the greatest treasure he had ever discovered. Now, there are a lot of people who own a Bible and don't consider it something that valuable. And the question we're going to explore today is why? Why isn't the word of God something of value? I grew up in church, and I think I had a Bible before I knew what a Bible was. I remember going to Sunday school, and we did the sword drills where you had to see how fast you could look up a verse that the teacher called out. We even had times where we were encouraged to memorize whole chapters of the Bible. And all of that was fine and good. In fact, I really appreciate it. But it was a long time before I was like King David, where I would say I rejoiced in his promise. Let me say it this way. It was a long time before I enjoyed reading my Bible and seeing it as one of the greatest things I possessed. And I think a lot of people are that way. They have great treasure sitting on their shelves collecting dust. And again, the question is, why? Why is there a disconnect between people seeing God's word for what it truly is and not valuing it hardly at all? And I think the answer is that they've never tapped into the life and the power of God's word. Let me say it this way. The book has never come alive to them. Now, if that's true, how do we go from just reading the Bible and not getting anything out of it to something that is alive and valuable? Now, I want to answer that question by building a progression that will help you answer the question yourself. So let's just think about it. If we wanted this book to come alive, there's one element that we all know about, that we all know that if we had more of it, the Bible would work. And that's faith. Faith is the thing where we really believe what we're reading. Let me say it this way. Faith activates the word. And I'll show it to you in Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it didn't combine it with their faith." Let me say right there that a lot of us experienced that. A lot of us have had the Bible read to us or spoken to us, or we read it, and it was of no value because we just didn't get it. The Bible says that the reason we don't get it is because when we hear it or read it, we didn't combine it with our faith. Now, I hope what is happening inside of you is almost a bit of frustration, like, okay, Chris, that's the problem. I need more faith. Hopefully that's where you are. And if it is, that leads us to the second part of the progression. I'm just trying to build a progression here, so hang with me. If we want the Bible to be precious treasure, it needs to come alive. And in order for it to come alive, we need faith. Well, then I think the second question is, how do you get more faith? And that leads us to the second step in the progression, and that is revelation is what activates faith. Let me say it this way. If you've ever read your Bible or if you've ever been in church and they said something that you've heard over and over and over before, but then you had this moment where you go, oh, I get it now. That's a revelation. And revelation is what activates your faith. Most of you know that the New Testament is written in the Greek language. And sometimes when you study the original languages of the Bible, you unpack more truth than we can get just reading the English Bible. For example, in the Greek language, there are two words for the word, word. They have two words for the word, word. The Greek language has the word logos, which we have the English word, word. But in the Greek, it specifically means words written on a page. It literally means it's just a written word. That's all. It's just on paper. And that's where so many of us are when we read our Bibles. We're just at the logos level of understanding. It's just words on a page. But the Greek language has a second word for the word word, and it's the word rhema. And it means the, oh, I get it now word. It's the revealed word. Let me show you an example in Scripture, because I want this book to be precious treasure to you, and that's going to happen when these words come alive. Now, you probably know this story when the angel came to this little teenage girl named Mary and said, you're going to have a child even though you've never been with a man. And by the way, the baby is going to be God. This is just a young girl who's just minding her own business. And the angel said, God has found favor with you and he's got an assignment for you. You're going to carry this God child. And her response was, how can this be? I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin. She didn't understand the word from God at that point. It was just logos. So she said, okay, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't really get it. And then the angel said, well, let me tell you how it's going to happen. The wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and the power of God is going to overshadow you, and this child is going to be conceived supernaturally. And then here's what the angel said next. For nothing is impossible with God. And that's the last line the angel says to Mary. Nothing is impossible. Well, that's a cool motivational sentence for us. But there's more there than most of us realize, because in the Greek, the word nothing is two words. It's no rhema, no rhema, no rhema. So the angel was saying, okay, I know you don't get it now, but if what I'm saying to you ever becomes a revelation to you, then nothing's impossible. Let me say it this way. No word that God speaks, when it becomes a revelation to you, will be void of the power for its fulfillment. In other words, there's nothing in God's word that if ever became a revelation would now lack the power for it to actually happen inside of you. So here's what happened next. Check it out in verse 38. Here's what Mary said. Okay, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She got it. It went from logos to rhema. And it was at that moment she got pregnant right there. See, in order for this book to become precious treasure, it's got to come alive. And in order for it to come alive, you've got to mix it with faith. And in order for us to get more faith, we need the words to become a revelation to us. So now I hope the next question you're asking is, okay, Chris, now I'm frustrated again. How do you get a revelation? And that's the third and final step in the progression. Here it is. It's meditation that produces a revelation. Meditation. Now, meditation's an important word. It's a word used all throughout the Scriptures. You say, Chris, what does it mean? The word meditate in the Hebrew language, the language of the Old Testament, is the exact same word they use to describe a cow chewing its cud. Same word. So somebody would say, look at that cow over there meditating. You've seen a cow, how he does it. It's pretty gross. He'll get some grass in his mouth, chew it, and then swallow it. And then he'll throw it back up in his mouth and chew it some more and swallow it again. And then he says, I think I'll taste that again, and he brings it back up. That's the word meditate. Now, what does that mean? That means you take a verse in the Bible. You take one of the points from today's readings. You take one verse from the message you heard at your church this past weekend, and you just think about it. You chew it. You discuss it. You ask others, what do you think about it? Here's what I've learned. Oh, that's a cool point too. And it never gets out of your mouth and out of your life. You're thinking about it all the time. And then suddenly, after all that meditation, you're going to go, oh, I get it. A revelation's going to happen. And the revelation is going to activate your faith. And then the faith activates the word. And then the words have power, and they're not just normal words. And the Bible will become the most valuable thing you possess. Now, let me show you this final verse in Joshua chapter 1. It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate, chew on it, swallow it, regurgitate it, swallow it, do it again and again. Meditate on it, not just on Sunday, not just in the morning during your quiet time, but day and night, so that you may be careful to do what's written in it. Then, and this is where I want all of us to get to, then you will be prosperous and successful. Then the book is going to be incredibly valuable to you. My deepest prayer for you today is that the Bible would come alive and for you to consider it the greatest treasure you possess. God bless you.